Rangers Rambles.
All right, we are now live with the next episode of the Furry Raiders podcast. I am Jolt, as usual, your chief host of the show. And joining us today is, of course, our co-host, Avira.
Hello, everyone. It's me, your resident candy corn doggo.
Joining us today are two returning hosts, Beowulf.
Jackal of all trades, master of none.
Always nice to have you on board.
I try.
We also have another returning host, Douglas.
Hello, Douglas Terabyte, mad scientist, although that's an exaggeration.
Good to have you on board again. And
it's nice to be on board. Oh, sorry.
No problem. And joining us today is a first timer on the show, Sparky. Say hi, and maybe you'd like to say a little fun fact about yourself.
Hi, it's your favorite McCall Fulf here.
That's quite the introduction.
That's all I got.
All right.
Okay. So we'll preface the show first with a couple of little happenings in the furry community. First of all, Walmart has basically seen fit to, popular fursuit maker Lucky Coyote of Don't Hug Cacti has decided to modify some Walmart suits, and Walmart basically gave her a promotional shout out and the reactions to this. My goodness.
Wow. Yikes. I mean, it's, you know, like that CSI episode, like that creepy cat fursuit? It kind of looks like that a little bit. But with bigger
Walmart product.
They're made in China for like 10 cents and Walmart sells them for 18 bucks. I mean,
here's the thing. When Walmart said mentoring fursuiters for the next generation, everybody, like from the normies and all that, basically got
everyone's,
so...
Yeah, everyone's, "Wah, I have jazz hands."
Like, and then... And a lot of other people also said, like, you know, purge the degenerates.
I mean, I'm pretty proud of Lucky Coyote. You know, they did a good job on this. They tried, you know, they did their best. And Walmart actually noticed, which is interesting. Because for the longest time, Walmart actually, they sold like these animal heads that looked kind of like cringy. And You remember those?
Yes, it's a gateway for the next generation of furries. I'll say that. But
those are usually horridly dirty. Don't try them on. Like, if you're gonna buy one, go home and wash it before you ever try it on.
I wouldn't buy one.
Like, I'm saying for those who can't, you know, afford an $850 partial, stuff like that. You go and you just if you want something that's cool enough that it'll get you through. Like, I've seen a couple people make stuff out of these maskimals. It's just absolutely ridiculous that you'd never know it was based off of a maskimal. I think that's what they call them.
Right? Yeah. Still. That's what they're called. Yeah, maskimals.
Yeah. Still, I mean, I just find it all sorts of hilarious. I mean. Now he's like, "Oh, boycott Walmart. Let's go to Target instead."
Oh, yeah. I mean, Walmart's just the cheaper Target. You see all the cringe at Walmart.
Yeah. I mean, I think there is actually like a whole thing that goes around where people actually nickname Walmart Ghetto Mart.
Oof.
Sounds appropriate. Yeah, not that I've been there in my time in the States, so maybe I'm not missing out on something. Anyway, the next little preface. Actually, did you actually want to talk about what recently happened? Like, were you being interviewed for a potential furry documentary?
Oh yes, I was. I was contacted by some people who wanted to film a documentary about the furry fandom, and they came over to my house today. And now I didn't realize like what this entailed. You know, they came over, and I thought it was just going to be like a 30-minute kind of done deal sort of thing. But no, it wasn't like that. They brought over the camera equipment and all kinds of lighting and like a whole crew. And I was like, what the heck? So, yeah, I mean, it was awesome. I mean, like, they basically asked me pretty much basic questions about, like, oh, well, you know, where did you start in the fandom? You know, like, what do you do? What are conventions like? And all sorts of stuff. You know, like, how many friends have you made in this fandom? Like, how does it affect your life? So they asked me all sorts of questions. But overall, the interview went very well. They took some B-roll shots of me in my fursuit. And I believe in about maybe a month or so, the documentary should be ready. Now, I'm not the only one that they interviewed. They're going to interview a few other people as well. But they're going to use a lot of the footage that they took with me to for the documentary, which is going to be pretty cool.
Well, so who did the documentary?
It's not necessarily like a company per se. It's a YouTube channel. Her name is Gabby EJ. Yeah, but they are professional photographers, and she is a professional like documentary maker. Like she's done documentaries before.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really looking forward to it.
I'm really nervous in your position, though.
I mean, yeah. It's speaking on camera for a lot of other people too, and with somebody you know, can you really trust this person, or are they going to deliver something even-handed?
No, yeah, they're not going to do that. I do trust this person. This is somebody who I do know personally. We've hung out several times before. She's very, very nice, very down to earth, and you know, she didn't give me any crazy like off the cuff questions that was like, you know, risque or anything crazy like that. We did discuss some issues regarding like the Kiro situation, but you know, it really didn't get this documentary is not about defaming the fandom or making it look bad or anything like that. It's basically just an exploratory sort of thing, and I think it's gonna be very, very well done.
It's hoping. I look forward to waiting for and seeing it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. So, on with the basic itinerary. That's the preface covered. Let us start with a story of anime. Of sci-fi has basically decided that they have gone woken up to discover a shocking relationship between anime and fascism.
Wah, wah.
Oh goodness. Here we go.
I
went through this entire thing and I just kind of facepalmed. Oh, they have black uniforms. It made my stomach turn.
I mean, that's like,
this person so has offensive. Such weak this person has such like a weak stomach, I'm guessing. Like it's not even funny. Like it looks nothing like an SS uniform that they're mentioning. It's like, it's an SS uniform.
It's not even a Nazi uniform.
That's exactly what he said. Not even a fascist one or a
like,
thing.
These aren't Nazi, but because they're close enough, it'd be sick.
That they wrote their inspirations from. Sorry for interrupting, but yeah.
Okay. There's not even an armband on the suits. So it's obviously,
it looks
they
more
can
like
be
it's supposed to be a military symbol, not
a red patch.
Symbol.
And it's a red circle. It's on everyone's arm.
And honestly, this is just the culture. You know, this is just how they animate things in Japan. If they have a certain style, what it looks like. It's okay. The hissy thing, that's a little
bit
different.
That might be a little
funny. Where the heck did that come from?
Yeah,
the next line.
They literally have like four animes that they just took a single picture out of.
I know, but like every anime, like if you look at them, like especially like in the schools, like schoolgirl anime, or
look
like,
at just like this picture you can see right here,
like girls in pants, yeah, right here.
They all have it's uniforms.
In... That's a school uniform, isn't it?
It is, yeah, a Japanese school uniform.
Yeah, that's, yeah, what they all have. It's not, that's not a fascist thing. That's just but, a that's cultural just... thing.
These people don't understand Japanese culture.
No, that's the thing. They don't understand anything about the anime. It's like the closest thing I could find that would actually be very close to Nazi would be Tanya the Devil.
I've never even heard of that.
Or Tanya the Evil, I guess is what it is. But basically, it's Germany in World War II with, you know, everyone has some kind of magic carpet nonsense that they kind of have, and basically Germany wins.
Well, what about Helsing Ultimate, though?
I mean, there's stuff like this. Yes, I understand. There's stuff that's not necessarily the best, but I mean, a lot of all the references that they made in this particular article made me want to find a piece of concrete and hit my face so hard that the concrete would no longer be in my face, but be behind my head somewhere, okay, preferably 3 or 4 miles.
Let me highlight something for you, though. Like the Japanese, what's it called? It's bad enough when these blonde-haired, blue-eyed, Nordic-featured characters are paraded about. Do they not understand that Japan loves people with these Nordic features? They obsess over it a lot.
So basically, like, they're being racist. It's bad, I mean, enough. Yeah. How dare you show white?
They don't understand that Japan basically has lots of main characters with Nordic features. Good
grief. Like, it's not even being racist. It's like being they're just like not cultural at all. They'll scream cultural appropriation all the time, but it's actually something that they don't even know what culture that someone else has. They're just like, mm-hmm, oh, we don't even know what your culture is, but we know someone else that's not even having anything to deal with you is appropriating, yeah, your culture.
And you know what I find really sad about this is people are actually offended by this. Like who actually is so weak that you can get offended by an anime schoolgirl wearing a freaking uniform? Like, really? Grow up.
Like, there's a point.
Like, why?
Did you ever graduate from diapers, or are you still in a diaper?
Oh, she wears a uniform. It's a fascist.
Look, I mean, look at this stuff where they got their inspirations from. I will show you the other Bounty in Comics article. And
but like who actually gets offended? Like, it's just so dumb.
Let's see. Bottom left, military uniform of the American Marine Corps. Center, the British Army. Right, the Japanese Ground Self-Defense Force.
Okay.
Up, the anime that offended.
Wow. Wow. So offensive.
Those look like JSF uniforms with a hint of American Marine Corps mixed in.
How dare they?
Which is still just military. It's not related.
And it's modern day military at that.
Yeah, I mean, any sort of uniform, like even Foxler tweeted about this, and everybody now makes jokes like, what if it's not military uniforms? Like, heaven forbid, if it's like a civilian uniform, like police. Like government service.
Yeah. And also in that same tweet, Foxer was talking that
it's unrelated.
In Indonesia they wear armbands as well. You know,
I mean, Thailand. I have no, yeah. I mean, good grief. If Indonesia wore armbands, because that's where my freaking motherland is, I might know something about.
And also Thailand, they do that in Thailand, they do that in Cambodia. All this the Southeastern Asian countries do that.
And, don't they have school uniforms in European countries too?
Yeah, of course. But yeah. Foxer was like, yeah, well, they wear uniforms like this, and also they have armbands too. You know, because it signifies like what branch of the military that they're in, like in Thailand. And I'm like, yeah, that makes perfect sense. But why?
But in the United States, armbands are offensive.
But why? Like, that's because, ugh, God, it's just bonkers. It's literally bonkers. I don't get it.
Oh my goodness. Yes. Before I do show them something that Scorch basically just sent me. I'm going to read a live comment first too. Boxcutter Husky says, Japanese railway employees wear armbands.
Yeah. Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Japan, never change. And Scorch insisted to show you guys this too. To punish Thai police, a Hello Kitty armband.
Yep. The Thai police. Well, yeah. Oh my, what?
That is what very painful.
What is this? Wait, what?
I can't see very well because of my resolution. Like, sorry.
Yeah, I'm just reading this, and this is disciplinary action rather than, you know.
It's public humiliation is disciplinary action. That's harsh.
That's effective.
I don't.
It's like wearing a dunce cone inside of school. The one of those white cones. When you get in trouble.
Right, yes. So this is what. Yeah, well, that's what Foxer was talking about. He's like, yeah, well, the Thai police, like, they wear armbands. Like, so what? Not really a big deal. But yeah. What's up with the Hello Kitty thing? What's up with that?
I mean, it's just to look, you know, feminine and, you know.
Yeah, it's to degrade the person and humiliate them, basically.
Oh, jeez. That's sad.
Indeed. That's a sad thing.
Because standard disciplinary action doesn't work. So we're going to publicly humiliate you.
Because you're not man enough to be a cop in Thailand.
You get a special pink armband because you were not strong enough or you bowed before something. Who knows? I don't even know.
Oh, well. It's what it is, though. So, I believe that pretty much pulls that out for a wrap. We can move on to the next topic of discussion.
Okay.
MMOs, Destructoid blog writes, MMOs would benefit from more playable furries.
Yes. Give me more.
Yes. I agree.
In 2011, when I signed up for Star Trek Online, I paid the additional $6 so I could play a Catalian.
I watch a lot of Star Trek, and I don't even remember what... Oh.
They're the cat people.
From what series?
They only appear in the original series once. But they are in lore. They are in lore. They are very common in lore, in fact.
All right, then. The point of this, yeah, go on.
But yeah, they're more in the books. But yeah, like MMOs, anytime I look at MMOs, when I go to play MMOs, I look and see if there's a furry option first before I ever even think about playing it.
Or if there's a furry in the character selection screen. Like, let's bring up an example here. Final Fantasy XIV. Released in 2013, 2014. Look at the... Find the furry race.
Literally top center.
Yes, the Mikote, aka Venecos. You know what I did when I basically launched a beta and hit the character selection screen, the character creator?
Yep, there's furries, I'm doing it.
You know it.
I haven't played MMOs that much, but I mean, relate.
It's not for everyone, but I mean, like,
it's not even an MMO. But I have GTA Online, GTA 5, and I went and got a fox mask, matching coat, matching pants, and black shoes and black gloves. I am a fox. Get over it.
Nice. And you know, I think a really good example of furry MMOs would be Second Life. Over a decade ago, when you know, furry raiders at this point would not even exist if we didn't have this. So, you know, this kind of stuff is pretty interesting. You know,
hats off to Linden Labs.
I mean, it opens the door for people to join the community, or at least form their own.
I mean, the point of this is, it goes beyond that, but the point of this too is to basically to live out your fantasies, as it were. Dream.
Is the oldest MMO with furries in it? Wow, I'm pretty sure it is.
What?
Second because the Worgen.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
World of Warcraft.
Oh. Yeah. Definitely.
With the Worgen race, which is the werewolves.
I mean, like,
or whatever.
I'm just skimming through with.
Like, yeah. They've added like 3 new furry races too.
World of Warcraft, I know. For first the Worgen, not then the pandas.
The Pandera, the Pandera, or whatever.
Yes. And then what did we? We covered once that we were having like Fenix for the Horde.
Well, how about Guild Wars?
Oh, the Char.
Guild Wars.
Yeah, the Char.
Yeah, the Char.
Hmm. Yeah.
What about the Elder Scrolls Online?
You got me there. I used to play a lot of Morrowind, and I found it really fun.
I know. There's two furry bait. Elder Scrolls is literally like. Because of the amount of races there.
You know, it's funny. I think that gaming companies are starting to realize that there's a lot of furries out there who, like, if they offer a furry option, like, we're going to play the game. Simply because
and we're going to play the crap option. Out of it.
Hell yeah, we will. Simply because of that option. It's like, oh, I could be a furry on this game? Hell yeah, I'm going to go play it. So I think they're starting to like, get the message that, like, we exist.
Or I think they make for marketing.
And we make up a large demographic, too. Like, an obscenely large demographic. It may not be, like, everyone who thinks it is a furry, but
there's enough
non-furry people like playing furry characters.
Yeah. Well, a percentage of gamers, for sure. Absolutely.
Wasn't there some sort of statistic somewhere that read that if you counted the population of furries in the furry fandom, like, and put them all in one place, it would be equivalent to the population of the state of Iowa or something.
I don't know. I don't know. I know there's a couple. There's at least. I mean, you know, I'd say there's at least probably a handful of a million furries.
My estimate
that's still a pretty major demographic that it could literally be like that many people.
Well, I don't know. I mean, my estimate is about 750,000 to almost a million. I don't think there's a million furries out there, honestly, like across the world.
But it's all largely self-contained online, and online surveys are pretty much the only predictor for it. Still,
yeah, maybe between like 500 and 750,000.
Yeah. But the main point I did want to stress too is that furry is very much a geek fandom, a nerd fandom, even in the early days.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I mean, we have roots in sci-fi. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for us to branch out into fantasy is very much a natural thing.
And even though we're not like that large of a population, we are pretty damn dedicated. Like. If there is a furry game out there, you better be damn sure that a lot of furries are going to want to play. Like, that's just how it goes.
It goes doubly true if you manage to carry to create a furry too. So
yeah.
You can't go and just be like, oh, you have a set option. No, if there's character creation and a furry, I mean, you're attracting tens of thousands of furries instantly.
Yeah. I mean, then again, when I played Morrowind, I think I went with a Dark Elf.
That's all right. I mean, like, the guy basically says, like, even for other stuff, too, they say,
character creation, you know?
To take a point, the bottom line of the article, too, says, not every Lucario player is a furry, not every Peach player is a woman, and so on and so on.
Mm-hmm. Like I said,
come on.
It's
now.
It's weird.
Every Lucario
not every
player is a furry.
Not every.
Come on.
Every what player? I didn't catch it.
Yeah, Lucario player in Super Smash Brothers.
Sorry.
It's one of those things. I mean, freaking Pokemon just has a very strong finger, and lots of people get their inspiration off of it.
Man, Pokemon was my childhood.
Yeah, but like Lucario, like, though, I mean, come on.
10 out of 10. Bait.
Lucario is actually a very modern Pokemon. I'm not a...
He is.
Mew. Mew not old... is actually like the Pokemon back in the day. I actually have a Mew card.
Yeah. I actually still have an authentic Mew card.
From the movie?
Yeah, the holographic...
No, I mean one of the original Mew cards.
Whoa.
Nice.
Whoa.
Got at least 1,000 Pokemon cards just because I don't know what to do with them other than to collect them.
I only got a small handful. But...
It's a damn good keepsake, man.
Well, yeah. I also have a lot of special cards that you can't find anymore.
Oh, what about that little... have you tried going for that little Japanese exclusive card called Misty's Tears?
No, because most of my cards are just old cards. I don't really pay attention to the new ones anymore.
Yeah, same. Yeah. Same. I have a bunch of cards, but like I never actually played the game itself. I just collected them.
Same here. I liked the cards for the art. I didn't like the game itself because it was weird.
Well, that's what it is. Well, I think there was that one.
It was trying to be Yu-Gi-Oh, but didn't work, especially because it had weird coins and stuff.
Well, there was that one horse Pokemon, but I can't remember what it was.
Ponyta? Or a Rapidash?
The one with the, it's got the fire on him.
Yeah, that's the one I just mentioned. Jeez, I know all of them.
Well, I know a very, very tiny handful.
My favorite Pokemon ever is Vaporeon, just for the record.
I don't ever think I've thought picked a favorite.
Me neither.
My favorite is actually the Ninetales.
That's the one.
Ninetales. Or Vulpix.
Mm. Or Vaporeon, because Vaporeon is bae.
I really liked Chimecho.
I mean,
and
basically,
turned into a Pokemon segment.
there's nothing wrong with it. I think I have owned every handheld Pokemon game ever made, at least at one point, and completed it.
I have owned 2, Gold and Ruby.
I have Red. I still have my copy of Red and Blue, the original, and I still love glitching them.
the duplication thing was the funnest ever.
It was really fun glitching the code until you got a Mew. Oh, wait, no, we don't have time for that subject. But I was going to say somebody actually wrote a virus that can actually infect old game cartridges to make old Mew under the truck rumor real.
Oh, that's, I mean,
that's some advanced hacking.
Man, people always do a lot of stuff with Pokemon, I know.
Yeah. That was some advanced hacking, making code compatible with the cartridge.
So, in regards to this topic, how has Nazism infiltrated Pokemon?
I can't find any relation in my memory.
Nothing.
Team Nazi.
The uniforms. The uniforms.
Yes. Oh, it's uniforms.
There was always a team, but they weren't ever... I mean, I guess maybe in Black and White too, with the comeback Team Plasma, but they were more like pirates.
Yeah, don't give the SJWs any ideas about Pokemon.
Don't worry, Pokemon's strong enough to hold its own. Remember, it's the Japanese, not the freaking Westerners. Anyway,
Well, Team Rocket was always a nuisance getting in Ash's way for trying to go to his next event.
They've never
succeeded. They always failed, and then they always got blasted off again.
Always came back. Why? Why would you come back?
Do you guys want me to read this obligatorily bad comment? This obligatory comment that every furry would want to read.
What?
Chris Love says, "Would a Ninetales have 9 tail holes?" Why must you do this?
You just killed me. That hurt.
Why?
No.
That's you don't cross that line. Pokemon is childhood. Yeah. It shouldn't go there.
Yeah, I think it's this would probably be a good time to move on.
Yeah.
So we have in our disposal the greatest meme in existence thus far.
Because it's so intertwined with real world philosophy.
It's true. The NPC, greatest thing ever, makes everyone salty, makes them go up in arms, and it even makes Twitter ban you.
Just for an image.
Yes, it does.
It's really funny too, because it's just Wojak combined with the face from old style Mac and then made gray.
I mean,
there is a lot to this meme. You know, a lot more than people think. You know, it's not just making fun of SJWs or people who pretend.
It goes way deeper.
Oh, way deeper than that. It's not just, oh, you're an NPC, but, you know, a non-playable character for those people who don't know what that means.
Well, the left, they continue with the same talking points. They say fascist over and over again.
That's what makes it meme hurt. Like, they just automated
because responses. They literally are repeating the same arguments. They're repeating the same pseudo arguments to try and counter points without actually trying to counter them.
Right.
Mm. But it ends up with them just not being able to counter anything.
Because it's a counter by derailment instead of actually confronting the subject.
They're programmed on a railroad. If you go off the railroad, they have no idea what you're doing, and they're like, then you just stump them. Because if you ask them a question that's out in right field, you just completely derail their train of thought, and they have no idea, and they just go back to their insults that they repeat over and over and over again.
And it's not even just that. It's people not being able to process arguments logically and instead trying to process it with their emotions, which doesn't work.
Yeah. Right.
Well, in the spirit of Halloween, I must say this meme is quite scary if you actually think about it. Now, the whole idea behind this is that an NPC or a non-playable character is really based on the idea of a philosophical zombie. Now, what that means is that there are some people who are born with souls. You know, some people, they have ideas of their own, but there are others who, because of large population, who don't have souls, and they act like essentially flesh robots, like what you guys just said before, how they repeat the same topics, et cetera, et cetera. Like, basically, they act like a non-playable character in a video game. And we see this with SJWs all the time. But this meme is really creepy because it does seem like some of these people exist. And in fact, there have been studies on this that seem to point to the existence of such types of people.
And if I may make a counter to that, it's sort of not in the sense of people not having souls. It's more that they have been so programmed by their social interactions that their actual behaviors have become reactionary instead of actually being processed according to the situation. A lack of a soul. It's more of being burned out to the point where they can't process by being programmed by their social interactions.
Yeah. Well, it does go a little bit deeper than just not having a soul. You know, I mean, that is one part of it, but it also has to do with something called an internal voice, where you have your own thoughts, your own opinions. But there's a lot of people out there who do seem to act robotic. And like you just said, in regards to the media, that they are so brainwashed, they are so programmed to act and talk in certain ways where they can be considered NPCs. Yeah. And it turns out that Twitter banned this meme because it was so triggering to people. Twitter banned just yesterday. An article came out that Twitter banned over 1,500 accounts because they were using an icon that had the NPC meme in it.
Yeah, I mean,
I mean, it's to the point where you can't even take a parody of yourself and laugh.
No.
No. But, well, this is why it hurts.
I mean, they did kill comedy anyway.
I mean, the thing was, like, the only thing they kept crying about is, oh, it's too dehumanizing.
But it's so real.
Yeah, it's too dehumanizing, though they call us Russian bots and fascists over and over again.
They're doing the same thing, hypocritical. Yeah. When we call them out for doing, for how they're acting, and then when we compare it to the I'm losing words here, but
it's
hypocritical.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, a Russian bot.
That seems to be most of their arguments, though. Is they're just hypocritical, hyperbole.
Hyperbole?
Yeah.
No. It's
hyperbolic?
Something like that.
I feel sorry.
They just lead back into themselves.
It's cyclical. I think there was this whole video on, I don't remember what YouTuber did it. He called the concept woo.
Oh, I mean, I feel so sorry for whoever's going to run against Trump. I mean, my God.
Yeah.
There's no way. Like how? There's nothing. There's nothing they can say. What are they gonna do? Ban all the memes? I mean, really? Oh, you called me an NPC. How dare you? Like, what?
I mean, Twitter's gotten to this point where it's kind of just a joke of social media. It's imploding.
Yeah.
Fractured under its own weight. It just blew out its own foundation. It's just now. You're just seeing the floors fall in on each other, one thing at a time, until it collapses entirely.
Mm-hmm. You find out a coincidence that the word "mob" actually put all three letters down. One, it says NPC. So after those three letters, it says NPC instead.
That's funny. What?
So I guess they're just
take
a mob.
MOB and do the next letter in the alphabet for each one. It's NPC.
Oh, mob rule. The idea rule. Of mob rule. Instead of trial by jury, you're trial by angry mob. Even if you apologize, it doesn't matter.
Guilty until proven innocent.
It clicks in now.
And it's quite the opposite because of over-socialization and social media creating the opposite environment where you were right. Guilty until proven innocent, except that they don't even care if you're innocent. They still attack you.
Yeah, because you're guilty until you're proven. It doesn't matter. They're going to attack you up until you're proven.
Yeah.
And in their own frame of mind, you can never prove yourself innocent.
Basically.
Yeah, it's it's pretty much real fascism. You're just guilty until proven innocent. And it's opposite of innocent until proven guilty.
Oh, we hate fascism. Yeah. In actuality, you are the fascist.
So, one little thing. We can try and dial this back in the spirit of furryism. And let me tell you that there is furry. You guys agree that there's no shortage of furry NPCs?
No.
There's a huge.
I've encountered a couple.
Here's the biggest tribute because one, our favorite site owner has basically has found NPCs to be so dehumanizing. I've basically had the courtesy of having somebody take this a little further. Behold.
Oh, no.
I mean, Avira, are you muted? Are you okay?
Huh?
Avira's muted. Other than that, the next person who basically joins the NPC ranks is... Come on, one guess.
I think we can see it, because I see introducing Dio icon.
Yeah, well... So France is gone.
But I think there's one... Well, I think there's one of Dogpatch as well.
There is. It's just... It was made, too. I mean, in fact...
And then wasn't there a generic one that could have been used as a template?
Actually. I'll pop that up now, because this generic one is basically such a true a truism for furries in general. Like
the entire fandom as one, basically.
Like, shall we play? All right, here's the screenshot. Shall we play bingo on how much of these statements in green text are 100%?
Applying to who?
Like the general generic furry. All right, okay.
Hey, green text, yes, Patreon. I am back. Okay, good. Yes.
The generic furries. Let's see. Let's bingo this. How many of these are true? Patreon. A lot. Lots of furries on Patreon.
Oh, my goodness.
Dash. Got this new YCH. Lots.
Orange man bad.
Only $50.
Orange man bad.
Blocked.
OMG Nazi.
I was just gonna
check out my 80 Twitter. I see that a lot.
Yeah, no wonder I refuse to follow that shit.
Jeez, man. Oh my goodness. I wanted to say something about the Dragonair one. I just thought it
punch
was funny.
Punch Nazis, as Dio says over and over again.
It's not a fetish.
It's not a fetish.
Literally.
Act like an adult.
Oh, this is crazy.
No drama. Drama. Yeah, the furry fandom lives on drama. That's not going to happen.
Like, it's so shocking. Like, and let's not forget the design, though. I mean, couldn't you have figured out how to fit an arrow nose instead of a dingo nose?
You know what's really sad, though? One of them says, "My suit will be done next year." Oof.
Oofed.
All those poor people who are waiting for their suits for like a year. It's like, yeah, it'll be done by like 2019. Yeah.
There's people who are on waiting lists that are like 3 years long, and then it takes 2 years to make the suit. It's just like, why would you even bother?
Right? Like, oh god, like, just make it yourself. At that point, I mean...
At that point, you could learn how to make so much in 5 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Can I just disclose something? My suit... was basically made in the span of a month, a bit over, but, and it took a week to get here.
Well, that's because you have an awesome maker.
You're a maker who understands, you know, not to take on freaking 30 commissions.
I mean, my maker basically took one at a time, one commission per month, got it done in a month. It was a partial suit, and understood, you know, the essence of communication. So on and so on. And I was genuinely satisfied with it.
I think a lot of the like really popular suit makers and stuff, sure, you know, they probably do other stuff in the meantime. They don't make it like their full-time job. Some of them do, I'm sure. But to some degree, I think that they take on enough that they make enough money that they don't have to worry about things, but they don't take on so many that they burn themselves out of it.
If I may interject for a moment, yes. Jolt, do you remember that one specific NPC meme I sent that was sort of like a combination of the brain meme and the NPC meme? Do you mind if I read that off?
Sure. I can't say I have all the screen shares, but there's a lot. Yeah.
All right. So the first one had just like the high res NPC and it just said NPC. Then the second one was saying, "You lack an internal monologue." Then the third one was just like the flat 2D NPC. And then it said, "You have never said, felt, or thought anything in your entire life besides which authority figures in the educational system, media, and politics, and academia approve it."
I got the meme now. I can screen share it. And
all right, so good. But the main point I wanted to focus on was the final point that the meme that got into the real philosophically deep part, which was,
yeah.
Now I may mispronounce this name, but Ted
Kaczynski proposed.
Kaczynski proposed the hypothesis of over socialization, the concept that a person could be so thoroughly conditioned with society's values as to compromise their own agency to make choices as independent individuals. We find ourselves in a pervasive system of cradle to grave social conditioning, starting with education from childhood to early adulthood, and then continually reinforced through authority figures in the media, entertainment, and politics. The cumulative effect of all of this can result in tragic individuals who can think and feel just as any of us can, yet are compelled to comply with their social conditioning in order to avoid unbearable psychological suffering. This is very different to a community or subculture with its own distinct aphorisms and in-jokes. The over-socialized never choose to be the way they are. It is imposed upon them.
I mean, you gotta feel tragic that they're basically in the hole they're in sometimes. No, we've no will to go out at all.
And that's really what the NPC meme breaks down to, is that it hits to that core problem in our society where we have become so over-socialized that
we're just programmed. We're not even really thinking or anything. We're just programmed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you mean by over-socialized? You know, like, what if people are constantly on their phone and on Facebook, are they really interacting with people face-to-face? Probably
no, but they've become so, you know, so reliant on these social interactions for their own self-esteem and personal image. Well, that if they try and act outside of it, then it literally becomes like a physical pain to them.
I would say that these people are well, a lot of people are reliant on the validation that they get from all the likes and comments and shares that they get on their posts, and they don't actually care about real interaction with people. Now, over-socialization has to do with people who care what others think about them, and then through these numbers, you know, through what social media tells them, they get that that validation. But in real life, they act like robotic. Like, hello, how are you?
Yeah.
I do that.
Because they have to walk on eggshells as to not break their internal framework. And scary. The framework that society has laid upon them.
Yeah, that's a messed up concept. It's now, this whole NPC thing, even though it is a really funny meme that I love, it's totally triggering SJWs because it's like so damn real. Like, if you look into it a bit deeper, it really is quite a scary concept that there are actually people out there who are essentially operating as flesh robots.
I think we've covered this in a bit, so we're double backing.
I know, like, it creeps me out. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry. Oh, my God.
The social behavioral training... the input from their environment and their social groups has become so ingrained into their personality that they act reactionary instead of actually processing things.
But like, I'm not even like memeing now, but like, I've seen people that are like this, like in real life, and it's freaking crazy.
I have too. I remember time riding home on the bus, and I actually bumped into, I didn't actually bump into him, but there was this under teenager that was just a couple years younger than me, sitting right across from me, and you know, I said, hello, how are you doing? And he said, yo, and what's up and stuff like that. But and then I said, well, how are you, what do you do? And said he worked like a McDonald's job or something. And then I tried to ask about him, and then when I tried to get into actual meaningful conversation, it was like it wasn't there.
It
scared me because I would ask him common questions, right, or things that would be common to me. Like, sorry, I'm having like a little anxiety remembering this, but it was like, it was fucking scary, man. Yeah, like this guy, like the only thing that seemed to be in his head was rap, Fortnite, and McDonald's.
Oh my god.
Grief. I think we need to burn all three down. Well,
it like, it literally gives me anxiety remembering it.
Well, actually,
it's weird.
There is one NPC meme that I kind of, that I get the most is the Antifa one, because Antifa always says love trumps hate over and over again.
A million times too. That's a lot. But you know what the NPC meme that I was thinking about? Just to wrap this up, was everybody basically putting NPC on the American news networks. Like you've seen it.
Because it shows that they repeat the same ideas over and over again, even when presented with different data, or when they are presented with data contrary to their framework, they talk out of it.
Did you guys see that Mark Dice video where he made fun of Anderson Cooper and he made him into an NPC? It was amazing. You guys got to check it out.
There's one. It's like, what was that again? I can't remember, but nah, I can't remember. Just go ahead.
That's all right. If
I may interject, can I bring up that there was another subject that we were going to talk about, and is the recent controversy over the Good Censor article and
we just found right to that one, right? Yeah, no problem. We're going to cover right now.
That's why I remember. You know when you're fake news, when stale memes constitute as news.
Yeah.
That's right.
I mean, yeah, I think we can
move on to people on news channels, you know, freaking out over things that don't even matter sometimes.
Yeah.
Or distracting from the fact, like, we have bioprinters, AI, and Project Starshot, and the cure for aging, all coming within the next 20 years.
And they're not focused
on horrible things that nobody knows about it.
Or really cares about.
Priorities,
right? Or that'll be gone the next week.
Oh, well. I think this time this NPC thing, as much as I'd love to sit around and share all the memes, has kind of run its course.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So, it's a very good topic and very deep topic, but we have something else we need to cover.
The Good Censor by Google. Oh my goodness. Why did these fucking ads? Anyway.
So I actually have it brought up on my phone. May I read into it?
Sure.
All right. So the...
Just briefly, a little first paragraph or so.
All right, I'll just start with the first paragraph, which is Google is working on a new search engine codenamed Dragonfly that will aid in China's effort to censor information for its citizenry. A former Google engineer wanted to share some information on what it's like to be inside Google when these decisions are made. Is just the introduction. Should I continue?
Yeah, just... Oh my goodness, why did I freaking virus? Anyway.
Yeah, so previously shared in 2006 the person says, I was an engineer who worked on Google News and was asked to write code to censor new results in China. I found some emails from 2006 that shed more light on the censorship requirements of the Chinese state. The email I'm presenting came from a mailing list from Google where employees discuss topics on politics and economics. I have formatted the emails for readability and redacted the names of my colleagues with whom I was debating. The topic was on the 2008 Olympics in China.
I mean, we can stop there for now, but essentially, what they really want now, Google, is basically to cash in on the Chinese market, the Chinese money. Never mind, Never mind what the rest of the world wants.
Violating people's freedom of speech. Whatever it is.
How about I get into this other article, which is more, better laid out for reading purposes. So it looks like China has just laid out how it wants Google to help persecute its Muslim minority.
Stop there.
Yeah.
I just stopped the screen share, but Look at
you're loading a screen share? All right, I'll switch to that.
No.
We've kind of gotten to this point where we don't want to offend people, therefore we must censor things, when in all actuality, you should be doing the opposite. You should be opening people's eyes, getting rid of censorship.
Too bad that's not what Google Spirit is.
It's like there's a car crash.
Everyone wants to hide.
We should ban seatbelts.
Yeah, that's the logic behind this, pretty much.
That's literally the logic. There was a car crash. Oh, we should ban seatbelts.
No, well...
Yeah, so we have people flying through the windshield, of course.
Mm-hmm.
No, but Beowulf has a very good point about this. Essentially, it's about capitalism and profit. You know, when it comes to Google, Google doesn't care if its searches are being censored, so long as they can open in the Chinese market. Now, if they want to open in the Chinese market, what they have to do is abide by the laws of the Chinese nation, which unfortunately does have a lot of censorship within it. So Google will abide by that. They will censor searches in China in order to...
it's already had their service there.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because they want to make more money. It's turned into capitalism. The problem is that we have anti-monopoly things, but Google's actually become a monopoly, and we don't know how to take it down.
Become a monopoly on search engines and analytics, so it basically has control over that flow of information, and so it's trying to exert its power. And it's sort of hard to stop them, other than to leave them entirely.
Well,
because they're an extranational company now.
There are a couple search engines in China that I know of, but they are heavily censored. And Google is going to go into that market, and if they're going to be censored, they're going to do it. They don't care. They don't care about free speech or, you know, freedom of information.
They only care about their bottom line, which if they go to China, they get a lot more users, which means that they have a lot more chance to put ad revenue in, which means they make billions more dollars.
Oh yeah. Yep, that's right. That's right.
A dangerous feedback loop that leaves that destroys freedom in favor of profit.
Did you guys know that most people in China who are under the age of 30 don't know what the whole Tiananmen incident was all about?
Wouldn't surprise me.
They don't know because they're unable to search it in China. It's banned. It's not in their history books. They can't look it up online. Nothing.
It's like Germany.
In China, it's banned.
I mean, Germany's taught to basically be ashamed of what they did in World War II, and that's just going to cause a feedback loop.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, they can't even search it. Like, but in China, you can't even search Tiananmen Square. Like, you can't even search Tank Man in China. Like, that kind of stuff is banned there.
You search that
what too about
many times.
But what about the social
SWAT team?
What about the whole social credit system that they're trying to start up in, or have already started up in China, that literally makes it so that if you do things that they don't like, you can't get a loan or you can't even get a passport or book a flight outside to wherever you want to go. They literally financially destroy you if you don't do what they want you to do.
It's communism. That's what it is.
Yeah. It's more authoritarianism run amok.
Well, same thing, basically.
I mean,
well, yeah, because as soon as you try to establish communism, it creates a power vacuum that immediately everyone grabs the power.
Because the thing is, China technically, in all technicalities, isn't necessarily a communist state anymore. They're more of a communist-themed republic. Granted, they don't necessarily have probably fully legal elections and stuff, but it's not full communism anymore. Full communism never really worked.
And it's more of just authoritarianism with the theme of communism.
It's the government controls everything.
To get back onto the whole Google track, you guys actually know what Google's response is when it got leaked out. Like, this is a research paper, not a company policy, and this should not be taken at face value. What a bullshit bunch of damage control.
Yeah, damage control. This won't ever go outside of China. We promise. Fingers are crossed behind their back. We promise it won't go anywhere but China.
Yeah, right. Like, I believe Google. Come on.
I mean, just for disclosure's sake,
I lost my faith in Google years ago. So,
just for disclosure's sake, I am going to say that I am using freaking Google Chrome to do this Hangout just because screen share works here, and that I can't screen share on my normal browser, which is Opera, for some damn reason.
All right. Well, you want to escape Google? I could lay out all of the methods required. First of all, there are other email hosts than big corporations, such as
ProtonMail.
There's this nice little website called Cockly that has email hosts for free, and it's run by donation, and it's all encrypted.
That's a good start.
There is also Antox and the entire series of programs that run on the Tox protocol, which all are end-to-end encrypted, which can basically have all the features of Telegram and Discord in one. And there is also RetroShare if you want to have something along a different protocol that can also be used for file sharing. And then there's also, well, the literal free-to-use Discord that came before Discord, Mumble, which works perfect.
Those are quite good steps if you're looking for an external platform. Mm-hmm. I mean, it'll take its time for each of them all to mature so that we can escape the whole
Most of
Google
them are already thing. Mature is the point. Mumble has been around since the 1990s.
Now it's also a matter of getting people to migrate and actually use it more. That's
or what about
challenge.
DuckDuckGo? Did you hear how DuckDuckGo has increased its user base up by 25% in like just a couple months? They're getting flooded.
Yeah, I mean, this search is basically just shot up and up and up a lot.
And also how Google is planning on dropping Android as an OS on its phones in favor of its new Fuchsia OS. So it would be a good idea to swap out Android, stock Android ROMs for Lineage OS if possible. Get rid of all that Google stuff.
Well, that could be a possibility. However, I must say that Google does offer some beneficial services. For instance, the podcast that we're doing right now is on Google Hangouts, and I have no problem with that.
Well, we could have done the same thing probably on PeerTube.
Maybe.
I mean, we'll look into options when they come. Like when we'll migrate to BitChute, we'll migrate to PeerTube, We'll do it when the options are available.
But I'm more concerned about this article where Google essentially admits that they're open to censorship, that they don't care. Like, if you want to look for information, Google is going to intentionally censor the results.
I mean, you can already see it if you run two browser windows side by side. If you run one browser that is not Google-based and then try and run YouTube on it compared to a Google Chrome browser, YouTube will not run properly on the other browser compared to Chrome for the reason that they actually modified the source code for their website to make it so that it requires a depreciated dependency to make it run its modern theme.
Yeah.
They're literally like anti... what is it? Word. Or you could just run DuckDuckGo and Google next to each other, and you can see. Just search tree trunk, and you'll get literal images of, you know, cut down trees and trees. And then if you run the same search in Google side by side, you'll get a whole bunch of clutter results because their algorithm is fucking broken.
Never mind the fact that they refuse to take responsibility to fix it. You know what's you don't want to find comic about it, though. What happened when YouTube all of a sudden crashed for a little while?
Oh, yeah.
That was weird.
The world didn't know what to do.
That was
By the way, speaking of the recent crash of YouTube, version 1.0 of PeerTube now allows you to import videos from other platforms, including YouTube.
That's wonderful.
Yeah,
is left that you would need?
Well, this was an unprecedented incident. This happened on October 16th.
It was global.
Yeah, global. Completely. The entire website of YouTube completely crashed worldwide. Very strange. They said that this hasn't happened in over a decade. So, you gotta wonder what actually happened. I mean, were they hacked, or did some kind of power outage happen at their server headquarters? I mean, like, who knows?
It doesn't even make sense, because you would think that they'd be smart enough to distribute.
Well, yeah, their servers are
the servers. Unless there was actual something going on at the corporate level that caused the site to, you know, get broken like that. I don't know, because you would think that they, with all of their server infrastructure, that they would have a backup running if one server died.
Well, yes, but after that, interestingly enough, that precisely was the same day that Twitter also had problems. Worldwide as well. It was crashing, it was being slow, it was being very strange. So it seems to be some kind of... either they were doing something, they were colluding, doing some kind of a plan. I don't know exactly. It's getting into conspiracy material.
Yeah.
But it does seem rather strange that even happened to begin with.
You know, it basically signals to me one thing, though. That this is basically the end of an era. We're approaching the end of an era.
I think so.
Well, these giants like Twitter and YouTube.
Yeah.
And the sooner their time will come. There will be life after them. I'm just happy that we're approaching this end of an era.
The DistribuNet is coming. Mm.
Indeed. So I think that's pretty much where we've got for our topic. So in that sense, live comments. Dove says DuckDuck GooseStep is the fascist search engine. Ha ha ha, not what a pun.
Okay.
I mean, there's alternatives to DuckDuckGo too, if you didn't want to use that.
Blah blah blah. Search Dobeslaw says search tank girl is okay. I hope maybe we could. Anyway, I think that's all the time we've got for the topics. Any of you guys got any little closing statements one by one? You can start, Douglas.
Well, thank you for having me again on the stream. It was quite a pleasure. I hope I can come back again next time you have a free spot.
Something out for you.
So, thank you.
No problem. Beowulf?
Yeah, basically, I'm just going to keep my ears up and head out. I mean, that's all I really got. I mean, I'm always happy to hop in here on little no notice. Doesn't matter to me. Good notice, short notice, long notice.
As long as we make it all work, despite the troubles.
As long as I have enough time to at least peruse through the material, I can do it.
Yeah, I mean, at least I'm quite generous enough to try and screen share. I hate the fact that I now have to uninstall Chrome and reinstall it when the show comes on again.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the first world problem. Sparky.
Be civil. Don't act stupid. Try to think rationally. That's all you need.
Because the worst thing you can be is a furry NPC.
Yeah,
that's the worst you could be.
Oh, yikes!
All right, and Avira.
All right. Well, as I always say, I hope you guys like this stream. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe to the Furry Raiders channel. Yeah, that's basically it. Hope you all have an awesome night.
And as always, you'll find the audio version too on Podbean, iTunes, Google Play Store, Stitcher, and it'll be around. And of course, to our viewers and listeners, thanks for tuning in. Hope you had as much fun as we did making it. Things would have gone well, but you know, we did get some good stuff out here. This is us signing off. Until next time, farewell.
Peace.
Bye. Thank you for watching.